Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 1 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 8, 1 through 14. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 8, starting in verse 1. These are the family heads and those registered with them who came up with me from Babylon during the reign of King Artaxerxes. Now remember here that the me is Ezra. This is the first six chapters of the book of Ezra don't include Ezra. And in fact, they're a generation before Ezra. Ezra is laying the groundwork for his trip to meet with they're not even exiles, they're those who have returned to Jerusalem. So they're the new inhabitants of Jerusalem. Ezra is laying the foundation of that, and starting in verse 7 or chapter 7, Ezra begins to take over the story firsthand. And so 7 and 8 are definitely Ezra giving his firsthand account here of the people and the journey and the why and all of that kind of stuff. And so we're going to start out chapter 8 with the list of people, and this is an interesting list of people that he's going to bring with him. Verse 2. Of the descendants of Phinehas, Gershom. Of the descendants of Ithamar, Daniel. Of the descendants of David, Hattush. Of the descendants of Shechaniah. Of the descendants of Prosh, Zechariah, and with him were registered 150 men. So right here, this starts out with the list of people who were priests and Levites. The Ezra was most concerned, we see, with going to Jerusalem and teaching the people there the law of Moses. He wanted them to understand the law of Moses, so he's got this list of priests and Levites with him. We're going to find out later that he doesn't have enough, or he doesn't have all of them, and so he's going to go on a search for even more. But continuing on, verse 4. Of the descendants of Pahath Moab, Eliohai, son of Zeriah, and with him 200 men. Of the descendants of Zattu, Shechaniah, son of Jehaziel, and with him 300 men. Of the descendants of Aden, Ebed, and Jonathan, and with him 50 men. I want to pause right there for a second and say that in verse 2, the last line of verse 2 is someone from the line of David, and most commentators believe that this is actually someone from the house of David, King David, but that this person didn't serve any royal function like Zerubbabel did. But anyway, we've got all of these lists, and as we go through more of them here, these lists of names, most of them are actually people who are from the families who've already gone. So these are tied together. These are not just random names, random people that are going back to Jerusalem. These are actually people, the families in chapter 2 that went to Jerusalem. These are more people from those family lines leaving Babylon and going back to Jerusalem. Continuing on, verse 7. Of the descendants of Elam, Jeshiah, son of Athaliah, and with him 70 men. Of the descendants of Shephatiah, Zebediah, son of Michael, and with him 80 men. 9. Of the descendants of Joab, Obadiah, son of Jehiel, and with him 218 men. So this is the one person right here, this Joab, that they don't have a link to that they know of in the first grouping of exiles that went back in chapter 2. Very often is the case in these ancient accountings of people, these ancient genealogies and where we're counting people, is that people's names might have been changed, or they might have gone by something different colloquially. And so maybe this person did have a family there, or maybe this is the first set of recruits from this family line going back. At any rate, I always find it fascinating when we read these kinds of things, because this is the kind of stuff that you can easily just pass over and say, well, this doesn't have any meaning for me. I can't figure out why this is even in here or why it would be important for me. It was obviously important for them. It was important for Ezra to list these people, to give their names and give their numbers. And even while it can be difficult to find meaning, I mean, everyone is looking for application of biblical passages. And this is a biblical passage that doesn't have great application. I can't think of a lot of application to your life today based on how many of Joab's descendants went with Ezra at this time in history. And that kind of brings me around to how we use scripture. Now, finding application, finding ways to apply scripture to our lives, that's not a bad thing. That's a very good thing. That's something that we should want to do. We should want to apply as much of scripture to our lives and our hearts as we can. But keep in mind that scripture is not actually for you. It's actually for the Lord. It's actually an eternal record of what the Lord finds important. And whatever the Lord finds important, I always want to find importance in it. And even though sometimes we go through scriptures and I can't find an application that matters to me, I want to know if this mattered enough to God to put it in there. I want it to matter to me. I want to find some reason. I want to know. I want to understand, why did the Lord choose to put this in scripture? The same scripture that Jesus says that not one jot or tittle, not one crossing of the T or dotting of the I will ever pass away. Why did God put that in here? And anytime I read something like this, as you know, dry as it can feel as you're going through it, I want to come at it like that. Why did God put this here? I even want to dialogue with the Lord. Lord, why did you put it here? Instead of just going and asking the internet or asking commentaries that you have, I encourage you, dialogue with the Lord. Ask him, Lord, why did you put this in here? And it doesn't mean he'll always give you revelation. Doesn't mean you'll always get understanding. But always put yourself, I encourage you to put yourself in a place where what God values and what God cherishes is something that we value and something that we cherish as well. Verse 10. Of the descendants of Bani, Shelemith, son of Josaphiah, and with him 160 men. Of the descendants of Bebai, Zechariah, son of Bebai, and with him 28 men. Of the descendants of Azgad, Johanan, son of Hakatan, and with him 110 men. Of the descendants of Adonikam, the last ones, whose names were Eliphelet, Jeul, Shemaiah, and with them 60 men. Of the descendants of Bigvai, Uthai, and Zachar, and with them 70 men. If nothing else, it's fun to listen to someone like me try and pronounce all of these names in rapid succession without getting tongue-twisted and tripping over them. But again, I do hope that as we read through these things, that you don't skip over these things when you read or when you listen, but that you do dialogue with the Lord. Lord, why is this in here? Why on earth would you want me to know this? And maybe sometimes, I don't know, but maybe sometimes it's just that the Lord is like, I really valued what these people did. They left a life of comfort in Babylon, more so than even the original 50,000 or so people that went back to Jerusalem, who didn't know exactly what they were getting into. 70-ish years on, these people knew exactly, or they should have heard by now exactly what they'd be going back to in Jerusalem, that it wasn't easy. And the Lord is saying, I want to put these people's flag in the ground for eternity because they obeyed and they went back knowing that it was going to be hard, even though they had comfort and maybe even luxury in Babylon. They chose to go back to the promised land. And maybe that's why their names are here. That's why I would want to know why it's important to the Lord. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.